And those 2 weeks before, I had to wait till December the 11th. He had. Thank you so much, Vicky, for that beautiful, beautiful setting of worship as we gather here together today. Hey, look over at somebody, give them that wave, a real smile, one that says, man, I want to be here today, and I'm glad that you're here. This is the last worship opportunity for the year 2023, this being New Year's Eve. Obviously, there's a lot of folks that are out and about and traveling. We want to pray for them, pray for their safety as they aren't with us and as they close out a year and bring in a new year. If you're part of our online audience, we're so glad that you are joining us today. Hopefully, you're joining us right now. But if not, if you're watching the replay, Happy New Year to you as well. If you happen to be with us, tell our own John Cazito hello. Dr. John, we appreciate him there in the back and all that he does behind the scenes. We love him. We certainly do appreciate him. Just a reminder as well, before we get our service started, we'll still take Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We can still take that today to be able to get that in if that is something that you haven't had an opportunity yet to be a part of. We can still do that because we will be sending that in January, so we'll make sure that that your Lottie Moon offering goes in. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our service today. Father, as we come to you once again, it is a privilege to be able to be in your house, and Lord, what a way to end the year by being in the place that is so near and dear to our hearts, being with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we take these moments and these opportunities to gather together to worship. Father, I pray that you will help us in each and everything that we do to hear from you and hear from your word today. Lord, not just simply from your word, not just simply the message, Father, but also in song as we're ministered to in that regard. And Lord, I just pray that you will move us closer to you. I pray, Lord, if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day of salvation and that the upcoming year of 2024 would be the best year ever as they walk the path holding your hand. So, Lord, right now, bless each and everything that we say, each and everything that we do, and then, Lord, we'll give you the credit and the glory for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you. Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh,
Across the page is our next hymn, Worthy of Worship.
Part of the family that's with us today. I've said part of the family because John and Nancy have been part of our family, and we always told you if you ever leave us, we're going with you. But nonetheless, it is always good. Each year we have a couple of occasions to have their daughter Vicky, Tim, and why do I keep wanting to say Jacob?
That's Jacob.
That's why. Welcome to the end of 2023. It's nuts. But it is always a pleasure to have them with us. They have had just a wonderful, wonderful talent to be able to serve the Lord in song. I think it's hereditary along the way. John had that. The whole family is talented in so many ways. You get to see them. We don't get a chance to see Tim and Vicky that often, but when we do, it's always great to have them with us to share in the talents and abilities that God has given them to bless our heart. We're so glad that they have come and joined us to do that today. Guys, would you come bless us?
Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's good to be with you all. And I'm very grateful that Brad gives us the opportunity to minister when we're here. We had a song that we did at home the first week of Advent, and we feel like it's appropriate still. It's called Hope for Everyone, and don't we all need hope as the new year begins?
The angels sing, there's hope for everyone. To announce our King, there is hope for everyone. What good news they bring, there's hope for everyone. Angels sing, there's hope for everyone. They can come all far, there's
much, guys. What a blessing. You better be careful. I might call you like Mary and Harvey and Carl before it's over with. So, yeah, never know what may happen. Today, we're actually going to be looking at some passages that come out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's interesting that when we get to these points in the year, we things that we know that have taken place, the things that have happened in the previous year. And yeah, for a lot of us, it's like, man, I kind of am ready for this year to go away. I saw it was a cartoon the other day that said, you know, me looking forward to 2023 as they entered it, and it showed this hard charging warrior, and then at the end of it, it said me trying to get through 2023, and it showed a baby that was bumping into every piece of furniture and falling down. And most of us know, understand, and resemble that remark, don't we? You know, for a lot of folks, I look out even over our congregation and think what a challenging year this has been for so many in our congregation. Not only just the people that we know, but people that are in our families have had, you know, a diagnosis that wasn't good. We've lost loved ones amidst this year, and there's always something that seems or appears to be magical about wanting to get into a new year. It's almost like that imaginary line that we can draw and say, I can leave those things behind and I look forward with hope to a new year. I look forward to being able to get through these things. I just want to tell you guys that as I look out over this congregation, you are a resilient bunch of folks. The things I know that you have faced, the things that I know that you have gone through, and you still get up every day with courage. You still put one foot in front of the other. You are still here. It's not about how many times that you get knocked down. Now, you've heard this. This sounds like something that would come from a coach. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you can get back up and keep going forward. Now, there are some days when it feels like all you're doing is crawling. There are some days when you will run the race and it's a sprint. And then there are other days when you're sitting there saying, if I can get an inch further down the road, I will be thankful to God for the inch that He gave me today. And you know what that feels like. I have seen the victories. I have seen the challenges. I have seen the tough times. And it reminds me so much of a passage. It's a passage that's counterintuitive to a theology that is preached today, that says, well, you know what, if you trust God, everything is going to be just wonderful. You're not going to have any more problems. That makes me laugh out loud. Doesn't it make you laugh? Yeah, when people actually say that, they're like, oh, yeah, I tell you what, if you just trusted Jesus, you'll never have another problem. Folks, that's a lie. That's not what the Word of God tells us. In fact, the Word of God says you are probably going to have more opportunity to trust Him. That's a spiritual way of saying stuff's going to happen. Yeah, notice the challenges that we have. More of an opportunity to trust Him. More opportunity to practice what you preach. More opportunity to live what you believe. But I can tell you, and I've shared this, and I talked to a lot of folks that, in fact, it was when I was back home for my dad's funeral, was talking to a guy, and he had talked about what a rough year he had had, what a rough year he had been having. And he kept referencing the David and Goliath thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get what's going on. But the problem with it was that in the midst of the story, it was more about, you know, how big Goliath was. And you know, all of the things that Goliath had accomplished in his life. And he said, yeah, he said it's a real David and Goliath story. And I looked at him a little perplexed, and I said, you know, last time I checked, David won that fight. And he paused for a minute, and he goes, yeah. I said, well, you're looking at it the wrong way. You can't look at how big Goliath is. You have to look at the fact of how small David was, but who was on his side and who won the battle. That's what keeps you day by day putting one foot in front of the other. It's being able to live and to understand within your heart, not just because the preacher said it on a Sunday morning at church. It's because you've experienced it in your life. I have said over time how we had given Thomas such a bad rap in his life. We called him Doubting Thomas. We still call him Doubting Thomas. But the one thing that I love about Thomas was the fact that Thomas wasn't just willing to believe what everybody else said. I love that. Now, we can sit back and say, oh, well, he should have been one. He was one of the disciples. He should have known. He saw all the things that Jesus did. But yet, Thomas was the one who, before he had seen Jesus, you got to remember, this is when he was approached and they said, Jesus is alive. And he said, I will believe it when I can touch the nail-scarred hands. Folks, let me tell you something. When you walk down those tough, tough roads, you better be touching the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. It's got to be real to you. If it is not real, you will fall away. If it is not real, you will turn your back on Jesus, who will never turn his back on you. What am I talking about when I say it's real? Yeah, I shared not long ago, I said that for 30 plus years, I had preached about how the Holy Spirit is sustainer. I had preached about how the Holy Spirit is there in your time of need for guidance, in your time of comfort. And I will tell you this, I believe that with all of my heart, but never has it been more prevalent than in the past couple of weeks. Never. And you see, even though I believed it and lived it a little bit, this is a time when you have to live it 100%. But I can say now, like Thomas, I have touched those nail-scarred hands. I understand the comfort and the guidance that only comes from the Holy Spirit. I understand the times when he carries me along the journey. So I preach that with all the more heart as we go forward. As I thought about ending this year, I look around and we joke about we've crashed into walls, we've fallen in ditches, we've hit some driveways, we've done all kinds of crazy things. We've had to meet in cemeteries and we've cried together and we've laughed together over 2023, and it's been hard, hadn't it? It's been tough. But there's a couple things we've had. As the family of God, we have had each other, number one, or actually number two. But mainly we've had our Lord and Savior to guide us through. I want to say something about the Central Baptist Church family. You guys are incredible. You guys have called and prayed. You've stood in the gap. You've lifted up. You have prayed hard. You have been on standby. You have been there. You've understood so many things. You are an incredible bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love you. I want you to know that. You have been with each other when the times have been tough. You have picked up one another when the times have been tough. And here is something that you understand. You understand the passages that we're going to share today. Our text today comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that these words resonate with us in a new way. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak these words into our heart, Lord, that we would live them, that we would understand what your word is telling us, that, Father, no matter what we go through, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation, you are there. But, Father, for right now, we are an earthen vessel. I pray that you will help us and give us strength for the journey as we go forward. Lord, use this, your servant, for these moments to lift you up, that you truly might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's you and I. You and I are the home of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. But we are earthen vessels. We wear out, don't we? It's kind of like anything. After a while, it starts to get old. Anybody ever have something like your bicycle or whatever that maybe you kind of, you might have parked it under the eave of the house and tried to keep it out of the weather, but then all of a sudden after time, you started to notice a little bit of rust on it. Yeah, well, our bodies kind of do the same thing, don't they? Yeah, what happens is the hair turns gray. Yeah, it starts to change on us. Things start to get, because here's the one thing that I know. I've heard this said, ain't none of us getting out of this world alive. We're not. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We are wearing down that this earthen vessel. Notice what it says, but we have this treasure, which is our Lord, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are here to glorify Him. We are here to use this body, to use our voice, to use our talents, to use our abilities to glorify Him. Now notice what happens, that when we get on that journey, after you trusted Christ, and here's where I said it's counterintuitive to some theology that goes around today. Verse 8 says this, but we are pressed on every side. Would you say that 2023 brought its share of problems to you? Would you say it brought its set of challenges? Would you say that you were pressed on every side in the year 2023? Notice what it says. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Not crushed. One of the things I used to love experimenting with, you know, and I was a practical joker, but I loved a good science project too. And I still remember a teacher telling me that if I put an egg in my hand and laid it in the palm of my hand and rolled my fingers just over top of it and squeezed it, that I would not have the ability or the strength to crush that egg. And I said, you're crazy. She said, come on up here. I said, I will. I kept thinking, this is a joke. You're just going to have, I'm going to have egg all over me and y'all going to laugh at me. No, she put that egg in my hand, and the interesting part is that when I closed my hand around it and squeezed it, and by the way, y'all, some of y'all are going to go home and try this. Be sure to report back to me. Now, don't curl your nose. I mean, just put it in your hand flat, and you squeeze that egg, and I will promise you, you can't break it. You know, you ever notice what happens? And I kept saying, this is crazy. I said, there must be something wrong with that egg. And then she took it, and she cracked it in a glass. She said, you want to try another one? I said, yeah. Click. I couldn't even crush an egg. You know why? You see, this was really interesting about that science project. When you put that pressure all the way around that egg, it will withstand an incredible amount of pressure. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Notice what it says. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Satan wants to try to take you and crush you, but by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit living within you, it does not happen. He will squeeze until he is blue in the face. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be crushed. You might be pressed on every side, but you will not be crushed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think at times we need to hear these words. In those deepest, darkest valleys, those are the words that we need to hear. I might be pressed on every side, but I'm not going to be crushed. What else does he tell us in verse 8? We are perplexed, but not in despair. How many times have we been in a circumstance where we were perplexed? We just didn't know what to do. We just didn't know where to turn. But here was the thing. We were not in despair. God was going to open the door. I've said before, if you can't find an open door, start checking windows, because God's got a way for you to be able to move through temptation, to move through whatever it is. Start looking for the way. It is probably not going to be something traditional. I'll tell you that. It's not going to be where you just open the door and walk through it. We use that expression a lot, which is true, and I understand it. We say, well, we're waiting on God to open the door. Well, you know what? Maybe God ain't going to open the door. Maybe he's going to open a window. So if all the doors seem to be locked, start checking windows. That might be what it is that he has in store for you. Climb out a window. But I will promise you this, he will provide your way. He will provide what is needed. When you are perplexed, you must realize that you are not in despair. I will promise you that there are a lot of you, if not all of you, who have been a little perplexed in 2023. We were hoping that 23 was going to be a really good year. Now, for some of y'all are saying it was a good year. For some of you, it was. For some of you, it wasn't. But see, we were hoping that coming out of this this eons-long, it seems like, pandemic, that things would get back to normal. And we've started to understand the old normal will never be the new normal. It is going to be different. It is going to look different. There are going to be challenges that are going to come our way. We are going to be pressed on every side, yet we're not going to be crushed. We are going to be perplexed, but we are not going to be in despair. We can't just throw our hands up and say, there is nothing else left to do. Maybe we need to get to that point in our life before we realize that God has something planned for us. But I will make you this promise. God has a plan for your life. He's got a number of days for each and every one of us to live, a number of beats for each of our hearts, and he's got a project on the horizon for each and every one of us. If you got up today, and you did because you're here, this is not Weekend at Bernie's. If you got up and you are here today, God still has a plan for your life. God still has purpose for you, and we need to be about that purpose. So we might be perplexed, but we're not in despair. We might be persecuted. I think that that's going to be on the rise as we go forward. There is going to be more and more persecution towards Christian people, particularly those who are openly Christian. And by the way, I don't think there's any such thing as being a closet Christian. I believe that the Word tells us that when you live for Jesus, the world is going to see that you're different than they are. They are going to identify you as a believer. And you're going to have to stand up and be counted. When I think about those things, I think about what it was like back when Jesus was crucified. I think about what it was like when Peter denied him those three times after saying, oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. But in the midst of the pressure, and by the way, the pressure wasn't some gallant warrior. It was a little girl. Peter caved to a little girl. He might have cut the ear off of a soldier, but he caved to a little girl who said, he was one of them. Oh, no, not me. I wasn't one of them. And yet, we're going to have pressures. We're not going to be crushed. We're going to be perplexed, but we're not going to be in despair. We're going to be persecuted, but we are not going to be forsaken. There is coming a time in our society, I believe with all of my heart, that we're going to be in a huge minority, that there will be persecution toward the Christian people, even in the United States of America. Right here at 1715 Highway 68 North, people are going to watch, they're going to see, they're going to make fun, they're going to do all these things, and you are going to be persecuted probably in other ways, in your work, in your neighborhoods, and whatever else it may be. You will be persecuted for being a believer, but let me remind you that the Word tells us that you might be persecuted, but you will not be forsaken. Did you hear me? You will not be forsaken. And I will make you this promise, and you can carry it through the gates of glory with you, that you and God make a majority. You know, I've often thought about what it's going to be like, and we read those stories over in Revelation about what's coming, and we think about that during the time of the tribulation when the temple is rebuilt and the witnesses are out there and the 144,000 sealed of God. I call them missionaries. That's the best way to say it. They're missionaries. They're going to go all over the place spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And they are protected by God Almighty himself. Notice the word sealed. It's kind of interesting. And I mean, this might sound bad, but I kind of like to see what's going on. When they get persecuted and somebody comes after them, they'll breathe fire and just burn them up. Now, I know that sounds a little morbid on my behalf, but Hey, remember what I said a minute ago? You and God equal a majority. When God's got a plan for you, you're going to get through that plan. He says, we are going to be persecuted, but not forsaken. Notice what it says, struck down, but not destroyed. That means you're going to have some cuts and some bruises. You're going to have some healing time. There are going to be some things that seem pretty devastating that are going to happen to you in this journey. Most of you already know that. There are going to be some times when you're like, I can handle this, man. I've done good. I've handled all these different things, but this one knocked me down. You been there? Yeah, when you feel like that life just ran over you, that life was a big truck and it hit you at full speed with everything that it had, and you're so hurt that you can't move. Yeah, and somebody, you got people in your life that are trying to encourage you and trying to pick you up, and you just want them to go away. Some of you have been there. You know they mean well, but yet you just want to curl up in a ball. Now, I want to say this along the way. In Psalm 55, when we read about David, this is when David's son Absalom had done him in, as well as his best friend Ahithophel, and he's lost the kingdom. And David makes this statement. He says, oh, that I had wings of a dove, I would fly away from this windy storm and tempest. And I kind of picture this like seagull or something over there in the midst of the French fries and the hamburgers at the Boardwalk restaurant, who you see kind of out there on the beach, or from the beach you look out and there's this little rock or a little island, and there's that bird by himself. There's nobody else out there. We need that at times, don't we? Sometimes we need to fly away from the windy storm and tempest. Sometimes we need to be able to step back and evaluate the situation. Sometimes we need to heal a little bit, but now here is what I want you to understand about that. That is perfectly okay as long as it's redemptive and it's not permanent. You see, you and I probably know people in life who have flown away from the windy storm and tempest, but they never got back in the battle. They're still over there. They're still sitting on the island, and that is not what God has in store. You got to get back in the game. You got to get back in the fight. You got to get back in there. If you watch an athletic event, you'll see a guy that gets hurt or he's tired. He goes down in the game. He comes over to the bench. He's there for a couple of plays, and then he gets back in the game. And that's what you and I need to do. Notice what it says. We are struck down, but not destroyed. You know, I want to be that guy that the devil says, oh, man, Roy's up today. You know, even though I slapped him down, even though he's got some stitches, even though, he is still moving forward. And that's what I want for you. That's what the Lord wants for you. Because he says, you'll be struck down, but you won't be destroyed. He's not going to allow that. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. You see, if you go back to that very first part again, it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's me and you. When we trusted Jesus Christ, we were given the Holy Spirit. You know why you don't need a temple anymore? Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, you know, we ought to try to do the best we can to keep the temple in shape. You know, if the house needs painted, you paint it. You know, if it needs a new faucet, you put a new faucet in it. You do what you can to maintain it. Well, all of us do that. Now, I'm not talking about Clairol or Grecian formula or any of them things, but you get what I'm saying. We should do the best we can because we have a treasure in these earthen vessels, and it should reflect what is within us. Do we do that? Verse 11 says, for we who live and are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Do people see Jesus in you? Or do they see a facade? You see, I think that one of the toughest causes of Christ has been those who are posers. And you know what I'm saying when I say a poser. oh, they like the church thing because it's culturally acceptable, or it's a good business proposition or whatever, or I can see people there, I can network, I can do whatever. But you know what? Church is something they do, not something they are, not something that they become. You know what? Church doesn't have anything to do with this. But you take this building out of here, we're still the church of our Savior. We're to live it each and every day. When you walk out that door, I was at a place one time that had a sign over the door that said, you are now entering the mission field. And we need to remember those things, because that waiter or waitress that you're going to see here shortly, that you're either going to treat uncommonly good or you're going to treat like a dog, is watching you. You ask people who will tell you that work in food service, they say the worst day that they have is Sunday, because that's when the church people come in. And they say usually the tip will be a track or something like that. Now, listen, it's all right to put a track with the tip, with a generous tip, because if you're not going to do that, let me put it to you this way. If it's got Central Baptist Church's name on it and you're not leaving at least 20%, then don't leave that track. I'm going to tell you why, because you make the church and you make Jesus look bad, plain and simple. It's interesting that I've talked to waiters. Retail is the same way. The church people seem to be the worst people, and we should be the best representatives of our Savior because we are carrying Him around. And here's the thing about it. They know who you are. You see, those unbelievers that I've had a chance to witness to say those church people, and I've asked, well, how do you know that they're church people? Because the same ones that will curse you about something you forgot at the table will gather around and say, let's get together and let's give thanks to God. Folks, you better be living what you believe. If you're not living it, what happens is people call you a hypocrite. And then what happens is people say, I don't want to go down to that church because it's full of hypocrites. I don't want to be a Christian because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. But let me tell you what makes a difference. This body of text that we're looking at today, what makes a difference in the lives of those people that are your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and people that you see is when they see verse 8. They see that you are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. When they see that you might be perplexed, but not in despair. When they see that you were persecuted, but not forsaken. When they see you struck down, but not destroyed. Then they want to know what you got. How can you do it? You've probably heard it. How can you do this? How can you put one foot in front of the other with all of the things that you are going through? And then God gives you the opportunity to share the greatest hope, the greatest love ever, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, listen, do it. Please, please don't say, well, it's because I go to church. You know what? There hadn't been a brick or a piece of carpet in this church that's gotten you through anything. Not one single one. It has been the Holy Spirit, and it has been God's people who have gotten you there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't invite people to church. Yeah, invite them to church. I want to see them here. I invite them here. You invite them here. All God's children invite them here. But when they get here, we need to love on them. We need to show them. What does it say? This treasure in earthen vessel, they need to see Jesus, not you and me. It is the coolest thing in the world when you get to be the hands, the feet, the voice of the Father. When you get to be the one who puts those groceries up on a porch of a family who needs them, and you ring the doorbell and you run like you're 12 years old. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about you getting praise. It's about Him getting praise. The coolest things in the world to do are to be God's hands and His feet and His voice when people don't even know who you are. Because then They sit back and say, I don't know who to thank. Well, yeah, they do, because they thank the Father. Remember what the Lord also said? He said, you know what? If you're doing it for man, you already have received your reward. But he said, but if you're doing this in my name, and if you're doing this at my directive, and you're pointing people in my direction, then there is a heavenly outstanding reward that nobody can imagine. Isn't it cool? And that's what we should be striving for. It's what we should be aiming for. That's what we should be looking to accomplish, get accomplished. We might be confused, but we're not discouraged. You know, there might be opposition, but we're not going to let opposition deter us. We're going to get back up. We're going to get in the game. And for some of us, as we look forward to this new year, that invisible mark that happens on midnight, we look forward to that with hope. And we sit back and say, you know what, I'm going to claim another scriptural passage. Putting those things that are behind me, I press forward. I move forward. Maybe 2024 will be a better year. Maybe it won't. But here's the question. With Christ, does it really matter? He gives us the strength one day at a time, one step at a time. And there are days when you sit back and say, Lord, I don't think I can make it today. And he says, yeah, you can. You put one foot in front of the other. That's how you do it, one day at a time. Now, there are times when you're goofy. There's times when you know, like I said, that's where I am. I'm so confused right now, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. That kind of happens. There's all kinds of things I know I should be doing, or the things that I should be doing that have gotten past me or what have you. And I'm like, okay, the dust will eventually settle if it, you know, I hope. If not, I'll just pick out what I can pick out through the haze. And we do the best we can with what we've got. You've had those days. When you can't remember a name that you know really well. I've done that before. I'm sat there going, hey, Bonnie, I've only called you that name a million times over the years. You get there. You might be pressed on every side, but you're not going to be crushed. But the only way that's going to happen is with Jesus. Now, I want to tell you this. Life isn't a cafeteria. You know what the interesting part about a cafeteria is? A cafeteria, you go down there and there's all kinds of food out there. Now, if you're at the K&W or the J&S, you know how it works. They got the glass and everything. They got people behind there going, serve you meat, serve you meat. I'm like, let me get down to the meat before I can't tell you what meat I want till I get there. Did that ever frustrate you? I'm like, honey, let me get down there. Well, then by the time you get down there, they're asking you about something else, like a vegetable or something. I'm like, I'm on the meat section now. But you pick it out. You choose what you want. Now, anything that you want, they'll put out on that plate. Folks, life is not on the cafeteria plan. You don't get to choose your troubles. It's not as if we can say, well, I'll take some light tribulation, but let's hold off on the persecution. And if you don't mind, I think I'll skip the part about being knocked down. I mean, think about it. You're not on the cafeteria plan. Yeah, I don't want to get knocked down. Life isn't a cafeteria where you can pick what happens to you. You know, you take what God sends you, but by God's grace, though we get knocked down, we don't get knocked out. And that makes all the difference in the world. I've thought about that. I said, you know what? Somebody said, well, you know what? Says, yeah, life is not a cafeteria plan. I said, no, life's more like a military plan. This is what you'll eat today. And depending on where you are, you grab a bag out of the truck, right? Then if you got a neighbor that if you got that Salisbury steak that was made in 1950, you might want to trade it for some chicken. Somebody might like, hey, you do the best. You might be able to trade some things along the way, but you're not going to have the cafeteria plan. Life is life. You play the hand that you have been dealt. But I will make this promise to you. You can win with the hand that you have been dealt. Sometimes it's tough. Like I told my buddy, I said, you know what? I said, I read the end of that David and Goliath story. David won. I love the look on his face when he went, yeah, he did. I said, it's only when you concentrate on the qualities of the giant that you get discouraged, that you get knocked down. But you see, David didn't go out and say, oh, Goliath's a gallant warrior, Goliath's the big guy, Goliath has killed so many people and everything. You know what he said? He basically said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of God Almighty. And although he chose 5 smooth stones, how many did he need? 1. Now that didn't mean that God made the battle go away, did it? You see, I think a lot of us at times are sitting cowering in the corner when God is saying, go out there and get in the fight. He says, when you get out there and march around the walls of Jericho, I'm going to make the walls fall, but you've got to march. Get up. Get moving. I know you're tired. I know you're beat. I know you're hurt, but get up. You can't quit until you see Jesus. When I think about that, I think about my dad. He preached to the day he died. They couldn't get him to stay in the hospital bed. Years ago, my dad had the Widowmaker heart attack. Wasn't feeling good. They did some tests. They called him back and said, we need you to come up to the hospital immediately. He goes, well, can I finish mowing the grass? And they're like, no, you are having a heart attack. And they transported him. Got him running again. That was my dad. Having heart cath, having a hard time breathing. Where is he up? Running around the room, talking to somebody. That was my dad. But you know what? What a way to go. One day, you're serving him. One day, you're preaching a sermon. And the next day, you spend Christmas in heaven. That's cool. I don't like it because he's there and I'm not. But you know what the word is? Keep going. Get up. Keep going. Get up. Keep going. Get up. Day after day, year after year, until you see Jesus, get up. Oh, what's the word tell us? The word says, I know that you are going to be hard-pressed, but you're not going to be crushed. I know that you're going to be perplexed, but you won't be in despair. I know you're going to be persecuted, but you won't be forsaken because I'll be right there with you. I know you're going to be struck down. I know you're going to get knocked down into the dirt, but you will not be destroyed. Get up. Get up and keep moving forward. Do not let the world defeat you. Do not let the world rob you of what God has called you to do, because last time I checked, he has called you to be a soldier of the cross. And a soldier is one who goes to battle, one who is ready every day at a moment's notice. Is that what you will be in 2024? Some of us are going to be walking into 2024 like Chester from Gunsmoke. Remember him? Some of us are going to crawl into 2024 tonight, but get up. Some of us are going to carry our bruised, cut, bad diagnosed self into 2024, and God says, them's my people. Get up. Not done with you yet. But that's for his children. So my question is, are you one of his children? Are you a believer? I'm not asking about all the stuff you may or may not have done. I'm not asking you what your past is, because last time I checked the Word of God, it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Here's your chance. Maybe you sit back and said, I have crashed and burned in 2023. Well, listen, use tonight at midnight as that imaginary mark where it's a whole new start for you. Use tomorrow, January the 1st, 2024, and say, this is going to be a new start for me. And by the way, you can't do it by yourself. It has to be something that God does. That's why New Year's resolutions fail. This is the New Year's resolution time where everybody's going to go on a diet. By February the 1st, all those gym memberships will be gathering dust. You know it. Not only do you know it, you've lived it. I'm going to be healthier. Give me some of that pie. I'm going to eat better. Well, we can't do that. The men meet at the Olympic on Wednesday. You have to start that on Thursday. It takes discipline. It takes a little pain along the way. But thanks be to God, we're still standing. Central Baptist Church, you're still standing. You and your families, you're still standing. Not because of who you are, but because who He is. And thanks be to God that we'll just lock arms or bandages and we'll go forward with each other. Because God is not done with us yet. 2024 is going to be an interesting year. Some people say, well, you didn't say it was going to be a good year. I'd like to think it is, but you know what? You might get knocked down. You're going to get hard-pressed. You're going to get persecuted. You're going to get all of those things. What are you going to do with them, though? Just going to give up? Or are you going to say, I am more than that. Through Christ, I am more than a conqueror. You can do that if you know Him, if you trust Him. Listen, have you ever given your life to Him? I didn't say, have you checked the box or done it? Yeah, we get to that point. I think there's a lot of people going to hell today because they think they did something. Oh, I got baptized. Okay, well, good. That's an act of obedience after salvation. Were you ever saved? Did you ever trust Christ? Did you ever give your life to Him? Baptism is not an automatic entry into heaven. If you never trusted Christ and you got baptized, you got wet. Maybe you trusted Christ later on. Listen, I will guarantee you there's somebody in this room today that you went forward, you prayed with the preacher, you did that. Maybe some of your buddies were doing that. And then remember the old days, the preacher had you in a baptism either that day or real, real soon. They didn't ask you if you wanted to be baptized. You were going to be baptized. Remember y'all preacher like that? Yeah. So you got baptized. Well, then the thing about it is you didn't trust Christ till later on. Well, your baptism ain't retroactive. Have you been baptized following your salvation experience? Okay, now listen, if you haven't, you can get mad at me all you want to. That's okay. I'm not the Holy Spirit convicting your heart and going, Like Carol has to do Mark a lot. But what are you going to do about it? Oh, well, I've been in the church all my life. Okay. Whoop-de-doo. You still need to be obedient to the Father to follow Him in baptism. We can fill that pool up. We love filling that thing up. We celebrate together. Nobody's going to think bad of you. Satan's always trying to say, oh, well, what will people think? Because you've been in the church your whole life. People will think more of you when you do the right thing. We've witnessed that. Do you need to be baptized? Do it, man. Start the year off right. We'll fill it up. Matter of fact, we got another church that's going to be using our baptistry here in a couple weeks. We use the same water, but you got to let me know. Today's the first step. First of all, have you trusted Him? Have you been obedient to follow Him in baptism? Is 2024 going to be a year that you embrace, whether in a neck brace or whether running across that finish line, to say, Lord, You're giving me a new chance, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to get up. I'm hurting a little bit, but I'm getting up. I'm going to put that foot in front of the other one. I'm getting up, and I'm not going to let life nor Satan defeat me. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. What has the Lord spoken to your heart today through His Word? I pray that He's given you some encouragement. I pray that some of you who have come through this year, you are standing up and you're saying, you know what? I'm dirty. My uniform's dirty. I'm scratched up. I've got battle scars from 2023. But the Lord says, that's my child right there. Good job. You done good. It's like, wow. I didn't know I could get hit that hard and keep going forward. And the Lord goes, yeah, through me you can. But you're going to get hit hard. Don't quit. Have you trusted Christ? Are you deciding on a change for the new year through Christ? You can't do it by yourself. Hear me on that. It has to be what He's told you to do. And what is this new year going to look like? I will finally say this. No matter how bad you're beat up, the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. You might limp into it, but you can sit back and say, Lord, I'm limping, but I'm still on 2 feet. I'm slower than I used to be, but I'm not where I was. You know, I'm taking those steps. Thank You, Lord, that You gave me this year. As good or as bad as it may have been, thank You, Lord. And Lord, here comes a new year. Show me what You want. And don't let me get down realizing these are things that are going to happen. What will You do? Listen, if you need me, I am here. If you need this altar, it is here. If you've never trusted Christ, stop what you're doing right now and just simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me live for You in Jesus' name. I pray that if you prayed that prayer, I promise, if you meant it, the Lord has saved your soul. And there's some things you can do to help follow Him. We want to help you with that. Let us know. Man, don't be embarrassed. Satan's going to tell you, I don't want to go up in front of a crowd. You don't have to go up in front of a crowd. You don't have to face them. Face me. They can see your back. That's fine. If you're at an altar, they don't see you anyway. Altar's a good thing. Amen. Whatever it is that you need to do, take care of it today. If it's leave the junk behind in 2023 that we start 2024 fresh and anew. If you need me, I'm here. The altar's here as we stand and sing our invitation hymn and as Brad comes to lead us. Are closed as you do business with God. Don't let this moment of Him knocking on your heart's door go away. Answer His call right now. Make sure life is different as you go forward. Deal with whatever He's placed on your heart. As you do that, I'm going to ask that our ushers
make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, again, you provide us everything that we need. All provision comes from you. So, Father, right now we come to that time that we worship you by giving back that portion that you have blessed us with. We pray that we will be found faithful in doing so, that you might truly bless the gift and the giver. And, Lord, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
is my story. This is my song. One of my favorites. Just a couple things as we go through this week. Just want to let you know we will not be having any more activities here at the church today, pretty much for the rest of this year. So just so you know that, we won't have evening services. We don't have Awana or anything. We know it's New Year's Eve, so no evening services. The church office will be closed tomorrow for New Year's Day. Always as a reminder, the crew meets, men's group meets Wednesday at 10 a.m. at Colfax at the Olympic to just be able to enjoy one another's company and a good old meal. No agenda planned whatsoever. Go eat with the guys. 10 a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax every Wednesday. Keep in your prayers. Our 2024 Cuba mission trip is set for March the 1st through the 8th. Continue to pray for those that are going. Like I say, you know, Jeff is on our list to go, and he had heart surgery, and I've had my arm cut open. We might limp into Cuba this year, so, but you know what? We're going to go unless they don't let us or unless the Lord stops us. We plan to be there, so keep us in your prayers. Also, I just, as a reminder, a couple birthdays we got coming up this week. Wes Laham, his birthday's Tuesday. Wes is over in the control room. He helps get our broadcast out on Sundays. He is here today, so happy birthday on Tuesday to Wes. And then on Thursday, Kelly Joyce will be celebrating a birthday. So be sure to let Wes and Kelly know that you love them and that you're wishing them a very happy birthday. Also, as we prepare to dismiss, we do need to keep the Greensboro Police Department in our prayers. A lot of you all have probably seen the news where one of the GPD officers was shot and killed yesterday at the Sheets over in Colfax, a very cowardly act on behalf of somebody who just wanted some beer, but I will reserve my comments. I think you know how I feel about that as we go forward, but nonetheless, we need to remember that family. This was an officer that was a family man and had some children. They have not released that name yet, but that's just a little inside information, but that's all I can give you at this point. But pray for that family and pray for the Greensboro Police Department. Like I said, the deputy chief actually goes to Awaken right next door over here, and the former deputy chief goes over there. And, of course, Fred, I believe, actually worked. He worked GPD, retired, and knows this individual as well. So when you wear that badge, there's something about it, whether you're retired, whether you just did it for a while or not, there's a family. It's a fraternal thing. So it's a hard thing. So we remember the Greensboro Police Department family, and if there's anything we could do, I promise I'll let you know. Also, I just want to say a very special thank you on behalf of myself, my family. There are so many things. I want to say that coming through the Christmas season, every card, every gift, every phone call, every text message, every message, I've at least read them. I haven't been able to respond to them, but I want to thank you guys for being a church that is above and beyond, for being a great, great support group for my family. Not only have you been there in spirit, you've been there in person. And for each and every one of you, I want you to know from my family to yours, I love you. I want to thank Central Baptist Church for the Christmas gift that you gave me as part of the staff. Like I said, there's so many ways I wish I could thank each and every one of you. I'm doing good just to remember to do this part of it right now. So I just want to say thank you so much. You mean the world to myself, my family. Continue to keep us in your prayers as we go forward. One final thing. I'm going to say a prayer, but I'm going to get you to stay right where you are. I do have an announcement that I do need to make after we go clear from our Facebook feed. So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us in prayer. Tim will let us know when we're clear, and then just give me just a second to make an announcement. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, I just want to thank you so much for the fact that you are God no matter what. You're God in the calm, and Lord, you're God in the middle of the storms. Father, right now, I just pray and ask that you will help us as we close out 2023. Lord, as we look forward to 2024, may we truly look forward to being an asset for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we might be beat up, we might be pressed down, but God, give us the strength and the courage to get up and put one foot in front of the other, to follow you into victory, because, Lord, before long, we'll be seeing you in the kingdom. So help us, Lord, as we continue to strive to go forward on this earth, and may this new year be something special for us, our families, our church, and, Lord, especially for you, as we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If you give me just a minute, Tim.